Oh, yeah.
Listen up. Are you ready to take your business to the next level?
Are you ready to get the inside info that will blow your mind?
Then get ready for Next Level, the podcast that helps entrepreneurs and business owners like you get ahead.
We cover topics important to you, like avoiding HR mishaps, solving payroll challenges, mastering benefits, and much more.
That's what I'm talking about. So if you're ready for real HR talk,
meet your host, Matthew Beals,
for another episode of Next Level.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Next Level. My name is Matthew Beals, and I'm thrilled to present today's theme for discussion, the awkward topics. Or should I say, the awkward office conversations. Have you ever been in a situation where you had to deal with, unpleasant body odor, inappropriate office attire, excessive flatulence, or cursing, and strong perfume odors? How do you address these sensitive topics without offending your manager, colleague, or employee? And how do you correct these behaviors without insulting or humiliating that person? To help answer these questions, I've invited Natalie Dotson, an accomplished human resource professional with 17 years of experience. Today, we will discuss tips on how to manage these delicate situations. Thank you for being with us, Natalie.
It is my pleasure to be here.
I'd like to give you some scenarios that I've been up against in the past as a manager.
Let me just name a few things that you might be covering here. Snorting, body odor, bad breath. These things, when they arise in the workplace, can be distracting to others. And that's, the main problem with habits that tend to suddenly become or seem to become amplified when others around are trying to concentrate, right?
So I think the first one that comes to mind, this happened early in my management career. He had an individual come in very kind of upset that people had been leaving deodorant on his desk. And I was, kind of curious about that. I wasn't sitting very close on a minute-by-minute basis with this individual.
Right.
Come to find out that this individual happened to have very bad body odor. I guess the subtle hint that his coworkers were trying to use is, here's a deodorant for you, go use it.
Right.
Not the most appropriate way. I don't believe that. I mean, you might laugh about it, but to that individual, it wasn't probably the best way to handle it. In that scenario, kind of number one, should somebody else have come to me and said, hey?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I wish they had. I mean, I have to say, there is no easy way to approach this one, right? If you could wave a magic wand over that particular scenario, you would have a conversation first with the person who brings it to your attention, if that's the case. If you didn't notice yourself as the manager, have a conversation with the person who brought it to your attention about the value of a direct and compassionate approach, and ask that person if they might be willing to bring it up themselves. If they are, then maybe you can help that person rehearse how that might go. And how it might go, I mean, really, there is no good or easy way to do this. But hey, Jim, I hate to have to tell you this, but I think someone needs to, and I think you'll, it'll be hard to hear, but you'll be grateful.
Appreciative.
Happens to the best of us, and I don't judge you for it, but there is a bit of a strong odor that it has been coming off of you. Are you aware of that? And you're probably not. So I just wanted to bring it to your attention. It's a sort of a pungent odor. Or, it might be the smell of garlic. Or, whatever. Mm-hmm. It might be this deodorant that, I've tried before. Used to not work. I now use this one. Don't push a solution in somebody's face until you know that they're aware of the problem.
Right.
In other words, it's usually enough to address something like that directly and gently. And I would say, in general, so whether it's you that's going to have to do this or your employee valiantly accepts the challenge, I would say that there are some rules of thumb, even though, like I said, there's just no easy way, but maybe wait until lunchtime so that person can kind of go away without being their absence being too noticed?
No, just out of curiosity, you know, the folks that were passive aggressively leaving deodorant on this gentleman's desk.
Yeah,
should I have confronted that?
Oh my gosh, good question. And I would say this can be a good learning opportunity for everyone who had any type of involvement in that, whether it be they did it or they laughed about it or anything like that. But one-on-one, don't call the whole team in and say, everyone, I know we've been having an issue with Jim's body odor and you found it necessary to make that known to him in this special way. However, no, don't call the whole team in because, you know, there's Jim feeling even worse, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for that. That's excellent advice. Not exactly the advice I received from my HR professional at the time.
Oh, okay.
But better, I think.
Well,
much better.
Thank you.
You know, it actually, I won't go into the solution that that individual provided, but it actually escalated the problem a little bit more than it needed to be.
Oh, no.
In any case, thank you. So another scenario. One point I was working for a large company. There was multiple departments within within the building. Mm-hmm. And we had clients coming in. Mm-hmm. One of the other departments had an employee, young lady, mm-hmm. that came walking out into the lobby area where we had our clients. And these are, you know, very conservative people, our clients. Young lady was dressed, let's say, rather inappropriately.
Oh.
You know.
See, all those things I was rattling off at the beginning. Let me guess, wrinkled clothing or?
The tight one.
Okay,
tight, very,
all
very,
right. Okay,
you know, inappropriate length for a skirt in a professional environment. Yeah. I mean, there, I guess there are some environments it would be appropriate, but not in a professional environment.
I understand, yeah.
Yeah, quite revealing, that type of thing. And it was a shock to our client. So, you know, given that she was working for another department, wasn't my employee, mm-hmm. right? However, was affecting the company and our client.
Yeah.
What would your advice be there?
Acknowledge that the incident, so describe, you know, yesterday there were clients in our building, or this morning there were clients in our building, and it was noticed the way you dressed really stood out. But that's why, one of the reasons why we do ask that all of our employees always follow a business casual dress code that would also keep in mind that many of our clients might have a more conservative view on what's appropriate.
So is this a conversation I should have with that individual? Or, you know, again, she's in another department.
Yeah.
She's working for another manager.
Okay. Oh, she's working for another manager.
Yeah,
right.
Another department, another manager.
So in that case, because these conversations are related to performance in the sense that they tie to the personal appearance, sometimes even conduct policy, personal hygiene. And by the way, let's touch on these policies after and how much it helps to have them so that you can point to them. But because they tie into those, and also because they are likely to provoke a reaction in the employee that is of emotional nature, you should give the manager a heads up.
Okay.
And actually, you would typically either be there with the manager or you would let the manager approach it. And in these types of conversations, off include that manager.
But definitely not going directly to HR, going to that departmental manager.
That would be better
because
you know, the manager also has a stake in the happiness and well-being of their employees.
Yeah, absolutely.
And might appreciate the chance to share a message with the whole team maybe. Actually, which brings me to, sometimes it's better to just be direct with an individual. When an issue is clearly tied to a policy, then it can be very handy to have a meeting that, you know, a regularly scheduled meeting. Hopefully you can bring this topic in and say, on the topic of how you dress every day when you come to work. We need consistency there. And we need, in theory, everyone to be prepared for the hypothetical client visit on any given day. You know, can anyone let me know what they understand to be appropriate? And, you know, on that note, yes, you know, Frankie, that's absolutely true. You know, often we need to pay attention to, are my clothes wrinkled? Are they distracting? So that word distracting can be very helpful. It's the root reason why there is a problem with things that stand out in the workplace about habits, about odor, about dress. The whole point is that these things are distracting. They're causing focus to go where it shouldn't have to.
Yep. Exactly. And again, awkward. But necessary to confront, you know, for the sake of
right.
everybody.
Good example. Oh, that happens a lot. Yeah.
Another example. Had a secretary years ago that wore a perfume that she evidently loved because I think she bathed in it. You talk about distracting.
Yeah.
You know, I could smell her come in the office. Mm-hmm. Her perfume mm-hmm. preceded her.
Oh dear.
And we did not have any policy at that point regarding personal fragrances and that kind of thing. So that was a tough one. Mm-hmm. You know, she kind of looked like my mother. So you know, kind of going to her and saying, you know, it was very uncomfortable. But, you know, without a policy in place and somebody, you know, doing something, you know, it was an intentional, you know, obviously she felt that was, you know, something that she liked. She liked the particular fragrance that she was using.
It was, her mojo.
Rather overwhelming, but you know, to everybody else. Mm-hmm. So, how would one go about confronting that situation where there's no policy in place?
Yeah. So you acknowledge first. You can name the situation or describe the situation rather, and say that you know it's come to your awareness that the fragrance that this person is wearing has been distracting to others in the workplace environment. And, you know, you get that it's not everyone and it's a matter of personal preference. And yet, you know, I, Matthew, feel a need to let you know because it's my job to make sure that everyone's doing what they can to work the best they can together. And in this case, the perfume you're wearing, which I know you chose because you love it. And so I'm sorry to tell you this, but there's another piece of advice, don't use the word but. And I want to let you know that we'll need to work together on a solution. So
now, would you ever recommend in that scenario that, you know, somebody, HR or management, sends out a notification to everybody to say, hey, you know, be respectful of your neighbors and tone back the personal fragrances?
Perhaps. So that is an example of, you know, where you may choose to address it directly with that person. And if you have the ability to do so, tie it to your policy, right?
Okay.
So I notice my language is starting to get all formal and stuff when I talk about policy.
It happens.
Like, yeah. So the thing about having a policy is that it takes it out of the realm of being personal, and you get to say, look, it says here that if your fragrance is distracting to others, you may be asked to cease the use of it. So in that case, I'd say it could stop there unless the person persists. And that said, I have often had it where when I've addressed an issue of excessive fragrance or fragrance that is offensive to others, the person says, well, yeah, I hear you, but what about, you know, so-and-so who smells like cigarette smoke all the time?
Ooh,
and I can't breathe. Doesn't that matter? And so then it complicates your response. You need to say, yes, of course it matters. Your experience is just as important as anyone else's. And everyone needs to do what they reasonably can to reduce distractions for others in the workplace.
Right.
Thing here is that if a an inadvertent or a not on purpose sort of manifestation of bad habit or poor hygiene consequences, anything like that, if that flips into belligerence, if that flips into, I don't really care, you know, other people do things that are annoying too, and they don't ever stop, and why should I? And, you know, if a simple, you know, I hear you, you're upset right now, I totally understand, because some people's embarrassment will turn into
anger.
Yeah, or, you know, whatever else, it can turn into something else other than, you know, what's really going on. So you
that's why
you wait till lunchtime or you wait till the end of the day, let the person go home and calm down. But if it continues and it appears willful, now you've got a conduct issue.
This is an interesting one. It happened again. I was in an office setting at that time, and the guy that would come in to fix the copiers, and we seemed to always have a copier down.
Of course.
A very friendly guy.
Uh-huh.
Did not have a real conception of the kind of the 3-foot personal space rule that we tend to have as Westerners. Very close talker, you mentioned that before.
And
made people very uncomfortable. I mean, he would just get right up in your face, and you know, sometimes.
See, I told you would bring it up. A close talker with bad breath. How did I know?
And he happened to have bad breath. Most
I make
of
fun,
the time.
But these things are not funny when they happen, are they?
No. So he's working for a vendor, doesn't work for the company, but he's still coming into the work environment and is being a distraction.
Great example, too, and gives me the opportunity to say that, yes, it is the employer's responsibility to provide a comfortable workplace as free as possible of unnecessary distractions, and that would extend to anyone who comes on site. Gosh, you know, I shudder to think, but even a client could be doing these things. But the point is, if the person does not work for the company, then you get to let their employer know and let them know that it would be a condition of continuing to receive this person in your workplace that they do address it, they do make an attempt to address it, and that you do see improvement.
Okay.
Does that help?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
So it's perfectly appropriate to reach out to his employer.
Right.
I guess I have one more scenario, and this is one that that I experienced personally prior to actually getting into management, as an outside salesperson. I had a boss who was a chain smoker. I mean, I think he kept Winston in business. He, it was a, you know, I don't know how much he smoked, but he there was a cloud around this guy.
Oh boy!
You know, constantly, and he also liked to come out and visit the clients with me.
Mm-hmm.
And he liked to do ride-alongs, which I didn't have a problem with the ride-alongs.
Right.
Bringing him into a client, and I could just tell people, you know, especially non-smokers, it's very offensive to have somebody, you know, that has that that cloud of cigarette smoke around him. How can one approach that? You know,
right.
It's
so
your
now
boss.
You're, I hear you. This one, I would say in most cases, you would hand it to his manager. Yeah, and because you should not be expected to be all on your own on this. And whether or not you want to participate directly in that communication, I would say is up to you. And it's up to, you know, the people above you in the leadership chain to have a concern for your comfort level with this and the well-being of the business.
And
the
comfort level of the client, too.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess one final question for you. You know, we talk about all these things that are distracting in the work environment, and can you think of a scenario that we should just kind of look the other way?
Oh, my gosh. Well, yeah, I guess, like I said, if something only happens once, if you had told me, for instance, that photocopier guy, that he was only there once a month, you know, then it might be more of an opportunity to teach tolerance.
Right.
You know, and,
so
and not, you know,
it's
pervasiveness, like with any other problem that, that has to do with the comfort level of your employees, pervasiveness, seriousness, like if something, you know, on the other end of the spectrum is so serious that it happens once you need to call it out, then, you know, so look the other way. Yeah, I guess if you're not sure that it's ever going to be a problem again.
That's a time to
you can
suck it up and just, okay,
yeah, I mean,
my neighbor smells really, really bad, but, you know, he was just at the gym and
See, but never ignore. So whether or not you address something right away is a different question than whether or not you ignore it. So you may want to make a note of something. And make the decision as to whether you address it right away or not.
And I know this is a scenario that you have dealt with.
Oh,
we talked. We talked about that,
but, okay.
You know, before
right. Yeah.
Before we
yeah.
got on here.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that is persistent flatulence.
Oh gosh, yeah.
Can you
know,
tell us about that scenario?
Well, it's interesting because to some extent. Flatulence can be a behavior, and it can be a medical problem, and it can be a matter of simple unawareness. If I don't hear it or I don't smell it, no one else can either. Yeah, it's just about every problem wrapped into one. I'd say, Matthew, thanks for saving that zinger for that. Yeah, no, it's my fault. Yeah, I had a call once about a similar thing where the individual had been spoken with, and I didn't get to advise on the actual conversation. All I knew was that it had been brought to their attention and that it had been verified that, you know, there was a health-related condition. So in this case, call HR. If anything medical is ever disclosed, call HR. Bottom line, it still boils down to does the behavior, the action, the situation cause an untenable amount of risk to the productivity of others? Da, 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 da. So if you can make, if you know that it's not being done on purpose and that it's really not going to get better, then you can look at other solutions such as lessons in tolerance, but also not intolerance, but lessons on tolerance. Also, you know, in one particular case, I actually went to Amazon and found that there's such a thing as a bamboo charcoal infused orthopedic fart cushion, not the kind that makes you fart, but it filters your flatulence. So, you know, and which brings me to one more thing.
Did not know that existed.
Oh, gosh. It's a good thing we can laugh at least after the fact sometimes, because if we couldn't laugh. But, you know, it's never funny while it's happening. But there are solutions, you know, on that note. There are some practical solutions that can mitigate a problem when you realize that to a certain extent, yeah, you do kind of need to look the other way, tolerate, but make sure. My parting message would be make sure that as a manager, as I said, you can choose not to address something immediately, but never ignore anything that triggers your gut response, that tells you, ooh, there might be a problem here. Oh, gosh, don't look away, you know, see it, make a little note of it, even date it, even if it seems really trivial. If it turns into a pattern and it's distracting to others in the workplace, chances are it's not trivial or it's not going to stay trivial.
Thank you all for joining us today. We hope you've learned great tips on how to navigate through awkward situations in the office. If you'd like to hear more information on this topic, please visit us at xlhr.com. On this note, I wish you a great day and invite you to join us next time for another episode of Next Level.